What happens when your personality is just a survival instinct in costume? When fitting in becomes your full-time identity and approval feels safer than authenticity? What if the version of you they loved was never really you at all? For a long time, I didn't know who I was, only who I had to become. In one room, I was charming and calm. In another, I was intense and angry. In others, I was religious or rebellious or relentlessly agreeable. I shapeshifted so often, I forgot who I started as. It wasn't acting. It wasn't even lying. It was surviving. One day, I realized I didn't know who I was beyond the mask I'd worn to be accepted, beyond the traits I'd borrowed to feel safe, and beyond the praise that felt like pressure. This is Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. I'm your host, Zero. And in today's episode, we're taking a long, honest look at the word identity. Not just what it means, but how it's stolen, twisted, and, if we're lucky, reclaimed. Because this word holds a story that too many of us are still trying to finish writing. The word identity comes from Latin identitas, which means sameness, and idem, meaning the same. It once meant continuity, being the same person over time. But what happens when your sameness was never truly yours? What happens when the face in the mirror feels like a collage of survival tactics? Identity was never meant to be static. It was never meant to be shaped by fear, codependency, or abuse. But for many of us, identity became a performance of expectations, a map etched in other people's handwriting. And when you're constantly adapting to stay safe, the line between who you are and what others demanded of you begins to blur. I remember the day a therapist asked me a simple question: what do you like? What do you want? And I froze, not because I didn't care, but because I didn't know. I had spent years reading the room and molding myself accordingly. I wasn't making decisions. I was avoiding danger. I wasn't living. I was managing perceptions. That's not sameness. That's survival. So let me disrupt something we've been told. Your identity isn't who you are in relationship to others. It's who you are when no one is watching. It's the choices you make when fear isn't in the driver's seat. It's the you that existed before the mask became necessary. And if you've never known that version of yourself, you are not broken. You are just beginning. We inherit stories long before we know how to question them. Stories about what makes someone lovable, what makes someone dangerous, what kind of people are worth listening to, and which ones are meant to be controlled. For me, identity wasn't an exploration. It was a sentence. Too Mexican for my stepfather, too white for my biological father, and never enough of anything to feel like I truly belonged anywhere. My heritage wasn't a source of pride. It was a pressure point. One side taught me to be silent, the other to be ashamed. I learned to flinch at my reflection, to second guess the way I looked, the way I moved, and the way I spoke. I was pressured to laugh along with racist jokes, both from people who thought I was too white to be offended and from others who thought my bloodline meant I owed them allegiance, even when their hate was just repackaged in a different skin. When you grow up being told, explicitly or otherwise, that your roots are something to hide, you learn to prune yourself to survive. You clip away culture, tradition, truth, anything that might make you a target. And soon, all that's left is someone trying to disappear into acceptability. But here's the thing they don't tell you. A life of pretending to belong is a life lived alone. There's a particular ache that comes from realizing you've built your life around versions of yourself that were never truly yours. For me, the fracture didn't come in a single cinematic moment. It came in stillness, after the chaos had quieted, after I finally had four walls to myself and no one to answer to. Silence, it turns out, is loud when you've never had space to hear your own voice. And what I heard was nothing. No preferences, no opinions, no direction. Just an empty echo where a person was supposed to be. I had written a personal mission statement years before, something to chase, something that sounded noble. I wanted to surround myself with people with whom I bring joy and have fond memories, and to whom I brought joy and fond memories too. But I hadn't been living it, because for so long, my life wasn't about joy. It was about survival. Success was measured in making it through the day without being seen as a burden, or worse, an enemy. So when I was finally safe enough to breathe, I realized I didn't know how. I had been adapting for so long, shifting into whatever shape wouldn't provoke, wouldn't offend, wouldn't take up too much space, that the moment I was alone, I collapsed inward. The moment of fracture was also the moment of possibility, because in that emptiness, there was finally room to rebuild. Not as a version of who I had to be, but as a version of who I wanted to become. Rebuilding identity isn't a lightning strike. It's rain, soft, persistent, reshaping you over time. For me, it started with therapy, not just sitting in the room, nodding politely, but doing the actual homework, unpacking the beliefs I'd carried like armor, the assignments that felt silly at first. What do you like? What are your needs? They began to chip away at the silence inside me. I began to notice the small moments where I showed up, honestly. No mask, no performance, just presence. And then, unexpectedly, poetry came back. The thing that I had once loved, before I was made to feel that my voice didn't matter. I returned to the page, still writing the dark things. But something had shifted. There was a thread of hope now, thin, but unbreakable. I could feel myself reclaiming a part of me I thought had died. The part that could still feel wonder. The part that didn't just survive, but created. I wasn't reinventing myself. I was reintroducing myself to the one who'd been buried under all that shape-shifting. And it was slow. Some days I slipped back into silence, into doubt. But I had a compass now. Not a map, but a direction. And I started moving toward it, one word at a time. I used to think I had to choose a side. Too Mexican for one parent, too white for the other. Too much to belong anywhere, and not enough to belong to anyone. My racial identity wasn't just ignored, it was punished. One parent used slurs and disgust, the other used fists and silence. And both treated my heritage like a flaw I needed to correct. So I learned to tuck pieces of myself away, to laugh off the jokes that made my stomach turn, to avoid anything too Mexican, as if embracing my roots would make me a target. Because it had before. And the shame wasn't just external. It nested inside me until I was embarrassed of both heritages. Not because I didn't care, but because I didn't know how to carry them without getting hurt. I swallowed every comment, every joke, tried to be neutral, tried to be palatable. But neutrality is never safe. It's just invisible. And invisibility comes at a cost of selfhood. Reclaiming identity, for me, meant refusing to be erased. Not just by others, but by the version of me that kept trying to survive by cutting myself down. I started to say it out loud. I am both. I am all. I am not less because I was born from contrast. I am more because of it. The first time I lived alone, truly alone, was the first time I felt safe enough to begin asking who I really was. No one watching, no one correcting, no one assigning me a role based on what they needed from me. It was quiet. And in that quiet, I didn't hear judgment or guilt. I heard possibility. That was when I remembered the mission statement I'd written years earlier. A strange thing to do at the time, crafting a purpose before I felt like I had one. But somehow, I knew even then that I didn't just want to survive people. I wanted to bring joy to them. I wanted to leave behind good memories. To build something lasting, not just momentary friendships, but connections that grow roots, that carry light. And slowly, I started living into that idea. Not because I had to, but because I chose to. That was the difference. For the first time, identity wasn't a shield. It was a sanctuary, a place I could return to when the world became too loud. A truth I didn't need to justify or edit. I didn't know all the answers. I still don't. But I knew this. I didn't want to be a mirror anymore. I wanted to be a lighthouse. The hardest part about building an identity from scratch is the silence you face after you stop echoing everyone else. There's grief in that silence. Grief for the years you disappeared in order to be accepted. Grief for the person you might have been if you'd felt safe sooner. Grief for the masks you wore so long they left bruises on your sense of self. But there's also room. Room to ask yourself questions that no one ever gave you permission to ask. What do I love? What do I find beautiful? What irritates me? What soothes me? What matters to me when no one else is watching? Therapy became the space where those questions didn't feel selfish. And for the first time in a long time, I stopped looking for someone else to hand me a definition of who I was. Instead, I started writing it myself. It didn't all come back at once. Some parts came in flickers. Others, I had to excavate, pulling truth from under years of performance and pain. And then there was writing. Poetry came back into my life, not as a cry for help, but as a compass, something that pointed me toward myself every time I began to drift. Even the darkest poems I write now feel different. They hold space for hope, not just pain. And maybe that's what identity really is. Not a fixed label or a perfect answer, but a language you finally learn to speak in your own voice. I used to think healing meant becoming someone new, someone untouched by what I'd been through. But healing, real healing, isn't a costume change. It's a return to the version of you who existed before the world convinced you to hide. In therapy, I found that version. Not all at once. Not in some cinematic epiphany. But in the smallest of choices. Doing the homework. Answering hard questions. Sitting with emotions I used to bury in silence or pills. And each time I chose to stay present, a piece of me returned. It reminded me that I wasn't broken, just buried. And what was buried wasn't shame, it was me. Not the me shaped by trauma, or the version molded by what others expected, but the one who wrote poetry before I knew pain could make me quiet. That version didn't need to earn belonging. He simply belonged. And every time I spoke from that place, whether on this podcast or to someone I love, I could feel it. The distance between who I am and who I used to pretend to be getting smaller. Because reclaiming identity isn't about finding a perfect answer. It's about closing that distance and standing in truth without flinching. If you've ever looked in the mirror and didn't recognize the person staring back, this is for you. If you've ever caught yourself shifting your words, your tone, your entire presence, just to keep the peace, this is for you. And if you've ever stayed silent because speaking your truth meant risking abandonment, you are not the problem. You're someone who adapted, someone who endured, someone who became whatever was needed to survive the storm because no one taught you that survival doesn't have to mean self-erasure. But the storm has passed now, and you are still here. So here is your invitation. not to reinvent yourself, but to return. Return to the self who was curious before they were cautious. Return to the one who danced before they knew what shame felt like. Return to the version of you who didn't have to shrink to fit. That version of you is not gone. They are just waiting for permission. Let this be it. The journey to reclaim identity isn't linear. It's layered with grief, grit, and the gradual return to the person you were always meant to be. You are not behind. You are becoming. And the courage it takes to face yourself without the masks, without the mimicry, is a strength most people will never understand. But you do. If this episode stirred something in you, if you've ever felt unrecognizable in your own life, and you're ready to start remembering who you are, then I invite you to stay connected. You can explore tools for healing like the Remorse and Release Journal and others like Ink and Insight or Breath and Bone at sconeandscribe.com. You'll also find the free 7-day poetry prompt journal there, along with new blog reflections and newsletter updates. And if you're looking for a quiet but powerful way to speak your truth, you'll find the Resilience shirt and other apparel in our Etsy shop, designed with intention for those who've lived through the fire and came out writing. Don't forget, the Our Candy Rose event is happening August 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hodge Park Trail System in Kansas City, Missouri. We'll be honoring lives lost to addiction and mental health, and lifting up the ones who are still here, bruised but breathing. Subscribe to Zero Meaning wherever you listen to podcasts or through the RSS feed at rss.com/podcast/zero meaning. Because the more we speak aloud what others have only survived in silence, the more we redefine what it means to be whole. That's it for this episode of Zero Meaning, where we unravel words, redefine perspectives, and empower healthy change. Words shape the way we think, and the way we think shapes the way we live. So choose your words wisely, question what you've been told, and never stop seeking the truth beneath the surface. Until next time, stay mindful, stay curious, and keep redefining meaning.